Not the only one, too? Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just because you're part of this sermon, I'm not giving you any money. So let's just be clear. Money is a strange thing, though. Because when you think about what money actually is, there isn't much behind it. We're the ones who actually put value and worth to money. A few years ago, they came up with a series of quarters commemorating each state in the Union. The Wisconsin quarter had a minting that went awry, apparently, for a few thousand coins, because on the back of the Wisconsin coin, there is a ear of corn. And on the ones that went awry, there is a half-opened husk up high that wasn't meant to appear on the coin. So the coin's face value is 25 cents. But if you happen, and you'll probably want to go home and look through your coin jar now, if you happen to have one of these, it could be worth up to $1,500 because somebody made a mistake. But when you think about the value we have with our money, it's kind of silly because it's fairly arbitrary in terms of our understanding. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. This, of course, is a penny. It costs the government 1.2 cents to make a penny. So that's how much a penny costs. A nickel costs 7.7 cents to make. So its value is less than what it costs to make. A dime only costs you 4 cents. So the dime's really only worth 4 cents, even though we say it's worth 10 cents. And a quarter is actually cost 10 cents to make. And yet we say it's worth 25 cents. But then we get into the silly stuff, really. You have a $1 bill. A $1 bill, of course, is worth 100 pennies. But 100 pennies is worth more than a $1 bill if you took the value of what it cost to be able to make this, because this only costs 10.1 cents to make. And a $20 bill, which is 20 times more valuable than the $1 bill, costs 0.1 cent more than the dollar bill to make. This costs 10.2 cents to make. And for those of you who have a $100 bill, I left all of mine at home. They are much more expensive because they cost 13 cents to be able to create them. It really has kind of an arbitrary value in terms of how we view money, because the actual amount it costs to be able to create such things isn't equal to what the value is that we place against the individual currencies. And that becomes an arbitrary thing, because if you think about it, and I can remember this, that there was a time when one of these would get you a gallon of gas. 25 cents for a gallon of gas. Now you get 3 drops of gas. The whole idea and the understanding of money really is that which we place upon it. And so in today's gospel lesson, when the Herodians and the Pharisees approach Jesus to try to get him to trip himself up by asking him about whether they should pay tax or not, he asked them, whose image is on the coin? And of course, it was Caesar's. And he said, well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, render unto God that which is God's. So really, the remuneration in terms of what we give back has to do with the image, which then takes us away from money and brings us to us. All you biblical scholars know that when you look in the book of Genesis and we talk about that sixth day, God made humanity in his own image. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give to God that which is God's. We are the image of God. All we are, all we have, all we've been able to create is that which comes to us from God. And in turn, we're simply asked to return to God that which was originally His. But not on the same level of the United States government, for instance, which I believe sets rates at 15% and 33%, but rather just a 10% tax. And it's interesting because I've heard people talk about what they give back to God is either a tax, a fee, or their dues, which is none of those things. Because what we give back to God, we give back to God out of the gratitude of our hearts for what God has blessed us with. It's not simply a tax that's going to be paid. It's not dues that needs to be rendered so we can get through the door, but rather it's a grateful response that we have to be able to give thanks to God that we are made in God's image. That we are one with God and that we have the ability to be able to use the skills and the abilities we have to do so many different things. And so we give to God that which is God. There was a farmer, and you can pick wherever he's from. He's from Iowa, he's from Minnesota, he's from Wisconsin, he's from Illinois, he's from Pennsylvania. Pick your place. And he was cheap. And so the local pastor went to see him. The local pastor says, you know, you have this beautiful farm. You've been blessed with a great harvest, and you've had a great harvest for the past 10 years. Don't you think you need to give thanks to God for this blessing you have and give back a little bit more of what God has blessed you with? And the farmer sat and thought for a little while, and he said, yeah, God has blessed me. But when I picked this place up, it was quite a mess. God could have done a better job. What we do because we are a reflection of the God who has given us life. We are created solely in His image alone. Susie Scott was about 18 years old in 1983. She got her first real job. Susie got a job with Hugh Hefner. Susie was in one of his magazines, right in the middle. Susie became a sensation, as you might imagine. She went on to get married. The marriage fell apart. She found a second husband. They fell in love, got married, and were living in Aspen, Colorado. He was some high-powered lawyer. Now, we have an image of the people who might work for you in that capacity. And in Susie's case, it might kind of be true. Bubble-headed bleach blonde. So she's sitting watching TV. And there's a news show about the plight of children in Africa, and she's touched by this, and she decides there's something she needs to do. So she's talking to a friend, and a friend says, well, you know, there's the same problems that exist in Haiti, and Haiti's not nearly as far away as Africa. And this is where the bubble-headed part comes into play, because she decides, okay, I'm going to help people. So she buys a plane ticket to Haiti. She packs her bag. She lands at the airport. She tells the taxi driver, take me to the poorest part of Haiti. He drives her there, drops her off, and then takes off because it's one of the most dangerous areas in the country. And she wanders the streets, finding out where it might be that she can help. She was taken in by a family who she stayed with for the 5 days that she was there as she did her looking around. And she decided that she could do something. Her, Susie Scott. And so she goes back, she tells her husband what's going on, she tells him what she wants to do, becomes very supportive of the whole idea, and pretty soon she's making monthly trips to Haiti with food, with clothing. And then later on, and she has a business she's been running, a sushi store in Aspen. She sells it. She takes the proceeds from the sushi store, she goes and she buys an abandoned orphanage in Haiti and rebuilds it. In fact, she made so many flights back and forth to Haiti that American Airlines began to comp her tickets to be able to help out in her cause. And she began a fundraising effort to be able to get more money and more supplies to the people of Haiti. And yet, the whole administrative costs and everything that she did was underwritten by her and her husband. She said when she stopped off of that stepped out of that taxi cab in that neighborhood, she said at that moment she understood that she had been reborn, called by God to be able to do something for the plight of those people. And so she has taken her wealth and her resources and her abilities, and she's done what she can to make a difference in a country that needs more help than we could ever possibly understand. God calls us much in the same way He calls Susie. Maybe not to step out of a car in some strange place and say, okay, here we go, because as far as I'm concerned, that was one incredibly gutsy move on her part, if not ill-advised. But God calls us to be able to take the things that we have and in His image recreate life within this world, in His image to be able to take the people who call out for help and to be able to respond in a way that can improve the quality of their life. In those lessons that Jesus places before us, we have that whole understanding that we are called as God's people to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to visit those who are sick and find themselves in prison, to be able to be the representatives of Christ here in this place, taking those resources that God has blessed us with and returning them to God in some form or fashion where we're able to help the world around us. It is a response to the blessings that God has placed within our lives. It is that tangible way that we have within our lives to offer our thanks to God for what He has blessed us with. We are called to go forth out of this place and to make a difference within this world, to be able to utilize our resources in a way that can allow this world to be so wholly improved on where it has become, and to take the lives of individuals and to change them for the better. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But we're called to give back to God that which is God. As far as I can tell, that's all we are. It's all we have, and it's all we'll ever be.